Tuxmore NFL, we are joined right now by an all-pro and a pro bowler and a 10-year NFL vet. He led the NFL in interceptions in 2014. A two-time Good Guy Award winner with the Lions. He was the 112th pick in 2009 out of New Mexico. He is the host of a new program. It is a new YouTube show called The DB Room, which we will talk about. He is Glover Quinn. Glover, I want to talk to you first about, before we get to the show, how are you and your family doing in the middle of this really, really unusual time? What's it like for you and yours?
Oh, man. First of all, what's up, man?
Good what's
to
up, man?
On the show.
You too. Good talking to you.
Oh, man. You know, we're here in Houston, and we just kind of been hanging out at the house, you know, staying in. We actually, I mean, we kind of started naturally kind of staying away in, like, mid-March. We didn't travel for spring break. So we stayed home. We've been inside since, like, March the 9th, I think. And we just kind of hang out at the house. You know, we do a bunch of activities with the kids. Obviously, we're doing the homeschooling stuff. We go out in the backyard. We got nice space. We live out in the suburbs. And so we got nice space to go out in the backyard and let the kids play and kind of entertain ourselves at our house and not have to be out as much. So it's been good. And, you know, the kids play their video games and we do get some work in it. They do the baseball stuff. And so it's been good. I mean, we've had a lot of good time just to be at home as a family and kind of let our lives slow down a little bit. So that's been great as well. So, you know, we've been trying to hang in there and ride this thing out, staying safe.
That's how you do it. Good to hear it. All right, so when you and I spoke about your retirement last summer, I got to know, it's been a year already, which is hard to imagine, but what was that first year of retirement like for you?
You know what? It was actually kind of cool because, you know, I kind of took a step back from football, not watching it every day, all day. Kind of gave myself some time to kind of just dive into other things. And, you know, yeah, I would watch games on Sundays and, you know, we would sit down and watch, you know, the football games, but I wasn't watching all of the stuff leading up to the games and, you know, watching OTA stuff and just kind of a lot of the stuff that go with football that I used to watch and take so much time. So I kind of gave myself a break from it and I just dove into, you know, more time with my family, you know, taking advantage of that. And working on some different hobbies that interest me. And so that's when I got started into videography. Just, you know, I've always loved cameras and, you know, I wanted to, you know, edit videos because my kids play baseball. So I'd make like little highlight videos for them. And, you know, as a professional athlete, I was kind of like, man, if I'm going to do something, like I want to be good at it. Like I don't want to just make average videos or have a camera and not really know how to work it. Like I want to be good at it. So that kind of prompted me to say, you know what, I got some time now. I'm going to go, like, to film school and kind of, like, learn more about filming and editing and all that stuff. And that led to another thing, and it's been almost a year now that I've had my camera, been working at it. So it's been fun. It's been a good, cool journey for me to kind of attack the creative side of my brain that I didn't really use as much when I was, you know, focusing on football. So it's been fun. It's been fun.
Glover Quinn is joining us. You know, watching this show, I'm not surprised at all, but you approach the show and you're on camera the way you always were when you were on this show and the way you conducted yourself as a player. You're going to shoot straight. You're going to be honest. As an example, you talked about the fact that when you signed with the Lions, nobody from the team reached out to you. 3 weeks after you signed, Don Carey was the first guy to contact you. How did it feel then to sign with a team and not have any of your teammates reach out? What did you think at that time?
Well, you know, at the time, you know, it was kind of like, I guess, the self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, because back then, Detroit Lions did not have a good reputation. On the field, they were probably the most penalized team, personal fouls. Off the field, they had a bunch of off-the-field issues going on. So just nationally, Detroit did not have a great rep. And so when I signed there, you know, it really didn't surprise me because I had never, you know, I had never went through that process anyway, so I didn't know what it was supposed to be like. But I just know the feeling that it gave me. Like, I was like, dang, man, I was I think I signed the biggest contract out of all the free agents that year. And nobody from the team, like, hit me up and was like, what's up, man? Like, glad to have you on the squad. And I wasn't, like, super, you know, highly known or whatever. But I was still like, man, if you keep up with your team, we just signed, like, a safety and, like, you know, he's going to be on that team. But, you know, it was nobody. And, you know, when I first got there, I could feel the tension. I could feel the, you know, the hate just because there were some other guys on the team that wanted to be paid, that probably deserved to be paid, but they didn't get paid. And so my message was, hey, man, there's no need to be mad at me. I didn't call Detroit and ask them to sign me. They called me. So if you're going to be upset with anybody, be upset with the front office. Be upset with the position coaches that said, hey, we need to add a safety, and we're willing to pay him this much. Don't be upset with me. But like I said, I had to deal with that, and it was you know, it was tough. It was tough. But my goal, my mission was, you know what, just because I felt this way, I'm going to change that for the next guys that are coming in. And so I started reaching out to anybody that we signed as a free agent, you know, draft pick. I was hitting the GM up, that year Coach Caldwell got hired. I hit Coach Caldwell up, you know, and I knew he was busy, but I still just wanted to send him a text or something just so he know that I reached out to him. My DB coaches, I reached out to them. Just to welcome them to the team, welcome them to the city. It was just something that I wanted to take pride in just because, like I said, I had that feeling. I know what it felt like for me, and I wanted everybody to feel welcome. I didn't feel threatened by anybody that we signed. I knew who I was as a player. I knew what I could do, and so I knew everybody coming in was there to help us. And the only way they can help us is if they feel a part of the team and they feel welcome, then they feel like we want them there so that their talents can truly show. So that was something that I wanted to do. So that's what I did to the DB room. I wanted to welcome everybody in. Like, man, let's have a great time, man. Feel free to be yourself, and let's work together and do this thing.
Like I said, keeping it real and shooting it straight. And there's a brand new program, and it's called the DB Room. Glover Quinn is the host. It's on YouTube. Let me ask you this. You did a deep dive on your pick six against Matt Ryan back in the day on the program. The night before the game, you were watching film on Ryan. You saw him do a check at the line. What about that caught your attention? And then what did you do with that knowledge?
You know, so when I was in Houston, Matt Schaub, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator when I was in Houston my rookie year. In 2009, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator. And when we were in practice, Matt Schaub used to do that all the time. He would do the little check, and it was, you know, he was saying can. I didn't know what Matt Ryan was saying, but in my head he was saying can because Matt Schaub was the backup quarterback in Atlanta at the time, and Kyle Shanahan was the coordinator, I think, the year, maybe 2 years before. So Kyle Shanahan had been in Atlanta with Matt Ryan. So when I saw him do that, it kind of caught my eyes. I was like, hold on, I've seen that before.
Right.
And, like, I started to pay attention to it. And so then I started going back and looking at all the plays because that route is it's a hard route to defend, but it's a big play for the offense because, I mean, I showed it in the video. They try to hit Julio, and then that other receiver is blocking the safety, and Julio is circling the defense going 75 yards for a touchdown. A lot of teams run that play because it's a tough play. But we always talk about we can make an interception if we get a good read on it. And so once I saw it, I just started looking at all of them. And I was like, man, 95% of the time when they run this play, he's making this check. Like, he's doing this. I was like, hold on, okay. So they're coming out in this run formation look type of thing. And if he gets the look that he wants, he's checking to the little skinny. And so I saw enough to feel confident and like, hey, if I get this look, like, I'm going to make this play. But I had to communicate that to Slay because he was going to be the guy that was on Julio that would have to have my back if they didn't throw the ball. So I left the meeting. I go tell Slay what I saw. I'm like, bro, I can go make this play. We're going to make this play when we forget it. And that's just the beginning of it. A lot of people, you know, a lot of times you see stuff and you have a good idea. But to recognize it in the heat of the game with 80,000 people screaming and to be able to go and execute it, that's a whole different subject. And so being able to see it just that quickly, like I said, and at first I didn't recognize it. it didn't trigger in my brain until he checked. When he checked and did the little can-can, whatever thing he did, when he did that, it clicked in my head. And I was like, oh, snap, here it goes. I tried to catch up, tried to tell Slay, like, Slay, this is it, this is it. And I had to take a chance on it, and that was a true story behind how that play. And me and Slay talk about that play to this day, and he's still like, man, that play give me chills still to this day.
Glover Quinn is joining us. If you want to learn how to play in the secondary, or if you want to learn how DBs think, this is why you want to watch his show. Before I let you go, you mentioned Slay, and I love Slay. Slay is one of my favorites. After he was dealt to Philadelphia, he talked about the fact that when Matt Patricia came in, he had a very different approach, and you've touched on this as well. But let me ask you, if you're a first-time head coach, the way Patricia was, a first-time head coach, and you're coming to a team that's 9-7 and that is competitive, and the first thing you're talking about is changing the culture, what's your reaction, and did that come off to you as arrogant?
Yeah, it definitely came off as arrogant. And I think coaches, and I don't want to speak for every player, but I can speak for the majority of players and the majority probably of the world. The New England Patriots have this arrogancy about them, right? They're just the way people think about it. And rightfully so, they've won a lot of Super Bowls, been to a lot of Super Bowls, won a lot of games, right? So a lot of people think the New England Patriots people are arrogant. They feel like they're better than other people. And so for new head coaches that are coming out of the New England system, that is already against you as a coach. So you can't come in and treat the people like you're better than them. Like, that already comes off in a negative light. And I felt like that's what he did. You know, we had been 9-7, I think, the last 2 years. We have made the playoffs. We have made the playoffs twice in 4 years. You know, had two winner-take-all divisional championship games in week 17. So it wasn't like we were the bottom of the food chain. We weren't the bottom of the barrel like this team that's 0-16 or, you know, 4-12 that you really got to come in and just uproot everything. We were a team that was right there at the cusp. And, you know, we just needed a little boost to maybe get to 10 wins or 11 wins. That's all we did. We didn't need a complete overhaul. You know, the players that we had were good players. So to come in and just kind of, you know, dog the players, dog, like, you know, make it seem like everybody in the organization was, like, bad and you had to change this and change that, it didn't come across great. And so that's why there was some kickback, some drawback, and you know, but – you know, he's in year three now, and, you know, he's been there some years, so I'm sure he's learned a lot over this time, and you know, hopefully this is a good year for him. And by the way, Slay's going to be on the show live Wednesday.
Good.
In the DB room.
Good. He's going to be on, and you've got first-round pick Jeff Okuda coming on as well. So when you and Slay chop it up, what's that going to look like, and what's that going to sound like on the DB room?
Well, the thing about the DB room that I wanted is I'm big into stories. I feel like everybody has a story.
You get that.
That makes them who they are. And so everybody know what Slay do for a living. Everybody know he's a great, phenomenal football player. But I want people to know who Slay is, not what he does. So, like, let's talk about, like, your journey, trials that you went through, things that you dealt with to make you who you are. Why do you have this funny personality that everybody loves? Like, why do you look at the game the way you look at it? Why do you look at life the way you look at it? What has happened? Because there's so many people that's dealing with so many things that can relate, you know what I'm saying, like, to life stuff. Everybody can't relate to what it's like to play in the NFL. Like, everybody can't do that. But life situations, things that are happening on a daily basis, how we deal with stuff, a lot of people can relate to that. And so that's kind of what I want to highlight, you know, motivate people, inspire people to, you know, go after whatever it is they want to go after and start to see us as good human beings that play football, you know. So
You get this, dude. This is why you and I go back as far as we do and why we've always done this. You understand this. You get this, that the best interviews are not interviews, but they're conversations. The best conversations are when guys get kind of anecdotal and they can tell a story or two. The thing I love about Slay, Glover, and it's this thing I love about a lot of guys, Slay loves being Slay, and I mean that in a really good way. Like, he loves being him and is happy to tell you about him and can express himself really well, and he's comfortable being him. Those are my favorite kind of guys. Guys like that. Slay likes being Slay, and that's good.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why we have such a great relationship, because Slay came in and he's been right at my hip the whole time. And he's never been afraid to, like, ask me questions. He's never been afraid to admit what he wasn't good at, what he wasn't comfortable doing in life, like things that, like, decisions he had to make. He's never been afraid to just be like, bro, I don't really know what to do. Like, I need some help. Like, and that's big, because a lot of guys won't do that. They'll just fake it or whatever. Like, he's never been that way. He's always asked for advice and help and, like, and didn't have a problem with it. So I feel like that's a huge trait to me, just saying, hey, man, I'm not too proud to say that I need some help. I don't know a lot of stuff. I want to learn. I want to be better. Like, ask people. There's people on this earth to help people. So don't be afraid to reach out to people that God has put in your life to help you become a better person. So, I love Slay. He's like a little brother to me, man. So I can't wait to have him on and you know, just let him talk about it.
He is an all-pro, a Pro Bowler, a 10-year NFL vet. He's got a brand new show. It's called The DB Room. He is the host, and it's on YouTube, Glover Quinn. My man, I'm so glad we got caught up. Congrats on your new show. Good to run you down, and let's not wait another year. Let's be sure we do it much sooner next time.
All right, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Be good. Be safe. Stay safe. Glover Quinn joining us. Ran really heavy on that, and that was worth it. Let me get out.